chapter, the 25th verse. Proverbs 16 and 25. If you have it, say amen. Notice now, there is a way that seemeth. Everybody say with me, seemeth. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'm going to teach for a little while, if you'll help me tonight, on this subject, doing things the right way. So important, doing things the right way. Let's ask God, God, would you help us here tonight? Open our hearts, open our understandings as we open the Word, Lord, anoint it today. Help us, O God, as your people in this end time, in this last hour, that somehow, some way, every man, every woman, we can do it right. I ask you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Shake someone's hand and you may be seated. Doing things the right way. Proverbs 12 and 15, notice what it says.
The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise.
We live in a generation seemingly, and it is affecting, I believe, even the church world, to the fact that somehow humanity measures up on the level of God. Let me inform you today, man is not even a blimp on the radar when it comes to God. For the word of the Lord says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Don't let us ever forget the fact that He is the Creator and we are the creature. He is the divine and we are but mortal flesh. But oh, I'm so glad today I got a God. I said, I'm so glad today that I've got a God today in my life. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to know now I'm gonna cover some things tonight, and hopefully just in a teaching fashion. But I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna be honest with you. You have our own opinions. And so many times we do things, whether it be in our life, in our marriage, in our home, in our finances, and even in our spiritual walk. It is based upon just personal opinion. Now, let me tell you, you have the Spirit of God, you have the Word of God, and you have the man of God. Yes, sir. Amen. And in this day and time, we need to find out that God's way is the best way. We need to run everything that we do, say, act, and whatever by the fact. Is this pleasing to God? Does this pass the test of the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the man of God? For they work in conjunction. Now, I'm gonna take and just use this as an example, because I don't think we need to look at, because the Bible said we're not wise if we measure ourselves with ourselves of what they're doing and what we're doing and what they're not doing and what we're not doing. So many times that's what people do. They measure it by one another. Now, notice now, humanity is changing. For one series, they'll wear narrow ties. And then they'll come out big old wide ties. Short skirts, long skirts. I even seen somebody the other day that had a tie on backwards. And it was cool, they thought. But man changes. But God don't change. In the Lord there is no shadow of turning. For He said, I am the Lord and I change not. Amen. Now when I look at our space and the universe or the solar system or whatever, you got to understand something. There is a set way that God put that in motion. And they tell me that it's moving. We are moving in six different directions at one time. My son and I was walking in church tonight. And I seen something and I stopped and cut in front of him. And then I got to the door and I seen a little bit of dirt there and I cut in front of him again. And he said, you're just cutting like some running back, just here and there. He said, you're darting all over. Now, understand the chaos that we would be in today if these six directions that were set in order by the Lord, if these six directions that we are going at one time would somehow get out of tilt or get out of sync or get out of any way in the order that they were placed in, hear me today, it would be catastrophic. Because order is an important thing. Now, when you, those of us that was here during the beginning of the space age era, I remember the calculations that they took getting a man to the moon. And they took a computer and they went back in time, way back, and they brought it ahead. And it was in such an order that they could take the days and figure them up. Because their intent was to shoot a rocket from here to the moon with the right force or the projectile and the right angle at the right time to intercept. And they put it this way. They said it was so technical and so fine drawn down. They said it would be like a train running down the road, a railroad track, 100 miles an hour, and a man jump in front and pick a fly off of that front of that cow catcher or whatever it is and be on the other side and not get hit. And so, but they went back in time and they said they brought it up and it didn't jive. And they did it again, and it didn't jive. And they did it again, and it didn't jive. And they said, something is wrong with our figures. There was a Sunday school boy, ex-Sunday school boy, in that assembly. And he said, let's calculate when the sun went back and when they stood in battle all day, and they added it in, and they said, we're closer. And then he said, well, there was another incident where the moon died, it went back so much and it did so much. And they put it in and it came right down to the T. They had to figure out the order of what God set in motion. And then they had to join in with that order. Can I tell you today, God has a order. And if we're smart, we'll join in God's order. In the natural man, notice, you go to a court, they'll tell you, order in the court. We want order in the court. When the judge comes in, everybody stands, order in the court. Because they found it's a necessity to have order. There is order in the military. There is the order in the military, and this is where it's so important. So you'll know the rank and the position, that you know who to salute and who not to salute.
And this whole thing is set up on it. There was a man, what was his name? Zumwalt, I believe, or one of them said, we'll just let down some of this. And we'll just let it kind of slip to the side. And we will just allow some things. And he almost wrecked the Navy. And they had druggies in and everything till they had to go back and say, hey, that ain't right. What's happening here with no order in this? We are becoming just a mass of movement. But he said, they said, let's get it back on order. And that is what saved the military of the Navy, the military. Because they put it in an order. Amen. Now, also on there, the main thing is, when you are in the military, you have to obey orders. That's so vital in there. How many, I know the women are probably not up on this, but most men are up on this, at least some men are. But in a V8 engine, did you know that they're in all 16 cylinders? In the 8-cylinder engine, did you know that there is a firing order? In the old engines on your firing orders on your I guess your intake manifold or whatever, and what it means is for this engine to function, that those cylinders, one on each, you got four on each side, they have to fire in such an order so it becomes balanced. It is something that is for that engine to run. It has to fire at a certain time. For a church to function, this side and this side, there has to be that balance in there. I'm talking about order today. Notice now Psalms 37:23.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way.
The steps of a good man are ordered of or by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. And so what it's telling us, amen, if we're going to find the right way, we got to have God directing our steps. We got to find the order. We got to find where we are and where we should be. We got to find where we belong and where God wants us. There is so many times that we come in and we do not seek or desire the actual blessings of God in such a manner of saying, God, where can I be in this church to be the best advantage? What can I be in? What can I get involved in? What can I do to make this thing go? What can I do? God, every day. I don't think God just puts us out here, amen, and just say, hey, somewhere down the road 20 or 30 years from now, I'll come back to you and I'll take care of, if you're ready, I'm going to take you, and if you ain't ready, I'm just going to leave you. I believe in a church, in a praying church. God's got some positions. God's got some rank. And God's got some order. And if we're going to do it the right way, we got to get in there and find that. God, what's the right way for me? What can I be doing? Amen. How can I get in God's order?
And look at 1 Corinthians 11:3.
But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God.
Now, everybody say with me, divine order.
Divine order.
Okay. Before there was a church, there was a family. Probably the most important thing that can be, one of the most important things, not the most, but one of the most important things that can be taught and preached in a church is divine order.
All right.
Where should I fit in this order? Now, in divine order, we teach it this way. We teach it this way. If you are under the umbrella of divine order, then you're walking in safety. words, you have the what I feel is the great protector, the great provider, the God of heaven. And when man gets under that protection, the enemy, there's things that come against our way that cannot, because he has like an umbrella over us and we are protected. And likewise, under that umbrella, amen, is the woman who is basically under the protection of her husband. And likewise, I feel the children are protected under that umbrella. And as long as I, as a man, stay under the protection, the divine order of Christ. Come on now. And as long as my wife stays under the protection and in the divine order of me, then my children will be saved. I'm telling you now, a lot of people want to blame this and want to blame that and want to call this and want to call that and say, there's a big old bad devil out there. That big old bad devil done this. A lot of times it ain't a big old bad devil. It's just people. Can I tell you, people self-destruct. Men that will not stay under a pastor's authority, can I tell you, is an open game to the devil. A man that won't follow his pastor, amen, he is open game for the devil. A woman that will not follow her husband is open game for the devil. And a man and a woman that will not get under divine protection, their kids are doomed. It's important we get under divine order. I'm going to hang here on that a minute. I'm going to stay with this for just a second. Because I'm going to tell you, everybody has an opinion. They sure do. Everybody's got one. But you listen to me. Sometimes you don't need to voice your opinion. You may not like what your husband is asking. You may not like what your pastor is asking. But it's to your advantage to stay under divine order. Because what happens is, when you step out, I'll tell you a good thing about it. God goes to moving in a service. I'm a pastor. I'm in charge. I'm the boss. I'm the plumber. I'm the dishwasher. I'm the electrician. And I'm everything else. But let me tell you, it does not go by unless it goes by him. It would be all, here's how dangerous it is. It would be almost like God would move in a way, and I knew it, and I would go home and mumble, say, oh, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Well, I don't think God's right about that. Well, I don't think God knows what he's talking about. Now, if it was me being in charge, and the boss and the water turner on her, and the water shutter off her, and the floor, whatever, I wouldn't do it that way. I'm going to tell you, that would be dangerous ground. Because what I'm getting out is out from under divine order. Because a lot of things that God's requiring of people, amen, does not go along with the flesh. It just falls into a category sometimes that this old flesh has to be taken to an altar. And you have to say, not my will, but God's will. And the worst thing I can do as a pastor is argue with God. Or withstand God. Or just say to God, I ain't going to pay no attention to what you're saying. But I got my own opinion, God. Well, you just drop it down a notch. You got a man And let me just stop here and tell you, men, do not expect your wife to follow you if you won't follow the man of God. When you go home and say, I don't like what the Rev preached tonight, what do you think? God does sometimes don't ask us what we think. Hello? Because I'm telling you, if it's coming out of the book and it's out of the book, you better listen to it. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What he's saying is, if it's out of the book, don't follow me. But I'm telling you, if it's in the book, you better say, hey, I'm going to get right behind my pastor because he's telling me book. And if you get out of there, you in dangerous territory. I know ladies have got smarter over the years. I know that they've been to college and got degrees, and some of them even drive LTDs. You listen to me. Divine order gives you no excuse. You got a man of God, and he's following his pastor. Now, he may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer. He may not, that hubby of yours. But have you looked in the mirror lately? He may not. But let me tell you, if that man is a following the best he knows how, your safe position is shutting your mouth. God don't really care. Coming down the line, he don't care my opinion. He don't care your opinion. So why should he care about your opinion? What is right is right. What is in the Word of God is in the Word of God. But we're living in a time that if the husband don't do what she says, bless God, we're going to voice our opinion. I knew when we got to here, Brother Tate, I'd need your help. I'm preaching on divine order. I'm preaching on the right way. I'm preaching on the right way. Following order. Let me tell you something. If we would just, I think sometimes if we would just take and just follow, because that's what we do sometimes from the pulpit, we just follow the Spirit of the Lord. We know what preaching, we know what the book says, and so we get into that, and God leads us in a direction. And sometimes when your husband comes in and he tells you, honey, I don't think we need to spend that. You need to listen to him. Honey, I think we need to change this just a little bit and maybe it's going to help us. You need to listen to him. Well, I'm going to have some help from some of you men because the ladies ain't even... I'm telling you, it's important. Now, can I tell you, how shall I say this? He tells us not to be Lord over God's heritage. Can I tell you, the Lord is a gentleman. He's good. He ain't going to force nothing on us. He'll plead with us. He'll work with us. He'll deal with us. Oh, yes, he will. That's why you're here today, because of the long-suffering of God. And that's important. So, husbands, you need to deal with your wives. You need to work with your wives. I don't come in and tell. I taught a Bible class one time, and I had an old brother there, and they don't even live for God, neither do their kids now. No, boy, should I have a philosophy. It's my way or the highway. Remember that? And they're gone. And they're lost. And their kids are dope heads. Am I right? That's right. Why? Because they did not... Can I tell you, this thing works together. And then our children. But the reason the children run in between the raindrops is because you're not in divine order, Mama. And sometimes you ain't in divine order, Daddy. You may sit there and not open your mouth, but you go home and talk about the man of God and what he preached. And if you ain't careful, your kids see the opening and they'll run between the raindrops on you. Because if you're not one of the biggest forces that my two kids had, the problem was they couldn't get between me and Ma. Because Mama believed in beating them just as good as I did. Matter of fact, I think she did a little more. Not as bad. But when I said I'm going to do it, I did it. Mom just kind of did it. But my point of it is, amen, there is a force here that says we're agreeing in this area. While I'm on it, let me tell you. If you got young kids and you run interference for them between the dad and the man of God, don't blame nobody else if they're lost. And one thing Mom Johnson always did was this. She just simply said, that is your dad and you will not. That is your dad and you will not. Not in this house. She feels as strong about it here as a pastor. That preacher that time that come in and she didn't know who it was. And remember he come in that other where he was having church and he stood there and folded his arms. Just looking around. That brother from Israel was preaching. Conrad was preaching. And it just totally shook that man up there preaching. So this guy come in, and he basically, what he was doing was his, well, I don't know what you call it, because he wasn't smart. Mom didn't know who it was, and she was about that close to saying, some of y'all brother, would you mind escorting him out of here? But she said, he is not. This is the house of God. Let me tell you something. If you don't respect God, and if you don't respect the man of God, and if you don't respect your husband, your kids ain't going to respect you. It goes in divine order. Is Mom always right? Well, no. Is Dad always right? Well, no. Is the preacher always right? Well, not all the time. Is God always right? Yes. I can tell you God is always right. But we are not always right. But if the man of God is doing his best, and the dad is doing his best, and the mom is doing her best to stay in divine order, then God will bless that home. Amen. Praise God. And so the home needs to be. Ephesians 4 and 11.
And he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
This all took, is that 11 and 12? Okay. This, what he did, he did not start the, what we call the fivefold ministry, amen, for anything else other than to bring order into the church. Through preaching and teaching. Through instruction to get it right. If not, we've got, whatever, 60 people, 70 people, 65 people in here right now, maybe 50. And we would have all these opinions. Well, but it's when you get in the book and you start bringing the order from the Word of God, and then family after family starts. This is the powerful force about a congregated worship, a congregated prayer, and a congregated togetherness. Because what we're, this is what brings the power to the church. The Romans and the Grecians and the Jews of that hour was against. But when this 120 got in an upper room and they started preaching the Word, can I tell you, that brought together a force that turned their cities upside down. What's happened in the Latter-day Church is if you've got 90 people, sometimes you've got 90 different opinions. But you let me tell you, God still has a right way in this end time, and He still has a purpose in the church, and He still wants it done, amen, the right way. All right. Now, I'm going to read these right quick to you. I'm going to start in Genesis. Brother Eric, I think, has them there. We'll do them right quick, but I want you to notice This is what I call the Old Testament church. This is deals with some in the tabernacle in the wilderness and even carries over into the new church. Notice this, Genesis 22 and 9.
And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood.
So even there it was done in an orderly manner. Read on.
Exodus 26:17. Two tenons shall there be in one board, set in order one against another. Thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle.
So when he's bringing the boards together, he brought them in order, one against the other, to make it strong. Kind of like the laminating process. Read for me now, Exodus 39:37.
The pure candlestick, with the lamps thereof, even with the lamps to be set in order, and all the vessels thereof, and the oil for light.
So we're in the area where the lamps are, and it ain't just lamp here and lamp there and maybe here today and there tomorrow, but it said they were set in order upon it. Read for me now, 40 and 4.
And thou shalt bring in the table and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it.
Okay, notice the things set in order, the things that are to be set in order upon it.
And thou shalt bring in the candlestick
uh-huh. And
the light and light the lamps thereof.
Exodus 40:23.
And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses.
Leviticus 1:7.
And the sons of Aaron the priest shall put the fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire.
Leviticus 1:8.
And the priest Aaron's sons shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar.
Verse 12.
And he shall cut it into his pieces, with his head and his fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings.
Chronicles 29:35.
And also the burnt offerings were in abundance, with the fat of the peace offerings, and the drink offerings for every burnt offering, so the service of the house of the Lord was set in order.
And what everybody say was set in order. Isaiah 9:7.
Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it.
Everybody say, to order it. Read.
And to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever.
Uh-huh.
The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Will perform this. Titus 1:5.
For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee.
Now, I want you to know, if you pull the scripture in Genesis, it's gonna pucker the garment in Revelation. If you study from the blood in the time of Adam and Eve, it's going to apply all through to you and I getting baptized in Jesus' name here. So there is a carry through. There was the Old Testament. And if you'll notice, everything was in order. Even to the point that if the priest went in, he had a rope, he had bells on his garment with a rope tied to his leg. And if he got in there and he did something that was out of order, he dropped dead. And when the bells stopped ringing, They pulled him out. I brought these scriptures together to tell you that the Old Testament, and I know we deal with the law, and I know we deal with all these rules, but can I tell you, Jesus did not come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. And what he's saying is, what started here needs to be here on into the New Testament church. It is not mine to do what I want to do. I got to be in divine order. It is not you and I to perform or do and to preach what we want to preach. You got to stay in the book because that's what was set in the first place. Are you with me now? In England, in the changing of the guard, okay, you got to understand that the jewels in England does not belong to the Queen. They're not hers. She can use them, but they're not hers to spend and to do with as she wants. They belong to England. And the changing of the guard, every time that they change the guard, these guards change out. And what they're referring to the guard that's coming on just simply says, hey, this here that I'm turning over to you is the same way that I found it when I got here. Listen to me. There is a lot of order being changed in our world, in our spiritual world. But you listen to me. What was delivered unto the saints, we need to hang on. What we was taught, Brother Tate, a long time ago. Don't nobody say, let's change the order of this. Let's just change the way of this. Hey, let me tell you. Let's hand it. If our time to hand it to somebody else, let's say, hey, I'm handing it to somebody else, but it's just like it was when I got here. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you, we're in a changing world. But God said, I want to do things the right way, even in 2011. Hallelujah. Now, let me read these here. I did a little study in this. Now, an order is a command, a commandment, a directive, or it gives direction, or it is instruction. It is to regulate. It is to manage. It is to oversee, administer, or to steer. It is, when you say order, it means it is organized. It is marshaled. It is set to right, or it is lined up. Orderly means neat. And it means tidy. It means uncluttered. It means shipshape. It means balanced. It means harmonious. It means uniform. It means precise. It means lined up. Now, the opposite of order is disorder. Disorder means confusion, discord, disunion, upheaval, turmoil, a fuss. And let me just stop here. Most generally in every home there is a dominant. Like in every chicken yard. There is a dominant. And a lot of times the reason we have peace in a home is because the other one just don't want no trouble. My mom was an alpha chicken. My dad told my brother one time, he said, it's just easier to let her have her way than it is to fuss with her. God, he got quiet on that one. Now, Jesus, help me. So my dad died. I says to my mom, "You know why Dad died?" She said, "No." I said, "To get away from you." Now, she didn't appreciate that at all, but it was the truth, I think. Can I tell you, just because you have peace in your home doesn't mean there's order. It just means they just rather shut up than put up a fuss and just let them have their way. But that don't mean it's order. When I think of doing it the right way, I think of joint working together. Working together. Was that okay? I know you didn't amen me much on that, but can I get a little amen on that one? You know, just working together. It's called give and take. That's what makes laminate so strong, is you got this give and take. And you got one going one way and one going the other, though they be opposite. Your personality and your wife's personality is nowhere the same. It was Abraham Lincoln that said everybody was created equal. That ain't true. Because if Abraham Lincoln was true, I'd be tall as Mama. Or she'd be short as me. Well, but it's that, can I tell you, it's that working together in a home where you set out for a purpose and you say, we'll raise our kids for God. We'll work together and we will bring this thing into... You can't do this saying, I'm going to have my way or else. Because what will happen there, you'll go from fight to fight, maybe 6 weeks between them, but you go from fight to fight. Because one dominant is going to try to overpower, not knowing that God has divine order. In a church, can I tell you, what gets it together is that old Pentecostal upper room experience, 120 in one accord. You know what's going to bring revival here? When David was on the hillside, an unknown, a nobody. He was somewhere. He was doing things right. Don't know what he was doing. But he was kingdom-minded. He was God-minded. Oh, yes, he was. He was God-minded. Somehow, let me tell you, a little old boy don't tear up a bear, amen, on his own ability without the help of God. He don't tear up a lion without the help of God. Somewhere that boy had plugged into God. I don't know how, whether it be his playing or whether it be his spirit, whether it be his attitude, but he found out, God, there's the right way and I'm tuned into the right way. I don't know whether he said, God, is this the strings you want me to play? Or God, should I play a little faster? I don't know, but he had ears for God. He had eyes for God. His spirit was reaching out. And what my point of it is, a little nobody on the side of a hill, amen, a little shepherd boy went from there, amen, doing it the right way and finding the will of God and finding the order of God, amen. It was this man that became the king. It was this man that was rewarded. Can I tell you, there is a reward in doing it right. There is a reward, amen, in following the order of God. You find Joseph. Joseph was in a pit to start out his ministry, so to speak, or his walk with God. Amen. He started out with a big dream, and his dream led him to a pit. But because he never got away from the fact that God was still omnipotent, he was still all powerful. He was, God, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to do it your way. That old woman, she tried to seduce him, but he said, I'm not going your way. I'm going to, because how can I sin against God? He was kingdom minded. But you listen to me. He said, I'll follow the order of God. If it's in this prison, this is where I'll be. If it's in this pit, Show me in the Scripture any place he complained about where he was. Sometimes when we're in the... We want it to be everywhere. We hit a little pit experience. Oh, God, what's wrong with God? Ain't nothing wrong in God. God sometimes has to lead us through a pit to get us to a palace. But he said, I'll stay true to God. I'll stay true to the house of God. And my Bible said he was rewarded. Can I tell you, if you do it right, you will be rewarded. And so, you may be seated. Now, disorder. Disorder is confusion. Discord, disunion, upheaval, turmoil, and fuss. Now, let me just say this to you. If your life is in a turmoil, I'm talking about you get up in the morning and you don't know whether you're washing or hanging out to dry. You don't know whether you're going in or going out, going up or going down. And everything is in a disarray. Everybody say with me, peace. Peace. There so many times people's lives, they are basically just out of order. Their whole life, their marriage is out of order. Where was we at the other day? Somebody said, how long y'all been married? We said, 47 years. I said, oh my God. I said, but let me tell you about it. It gets better. I feel like I'm in a house of unbelievers. It gets better. It does. You might have to get your hot tub to do a little, get a little better, but it works. Go on a trip. Made up my mind. I'm not going to be an old grouch. We had... In our family, we had a guy, and the kids named him Sired Hired. His name was Hired. And so they said, and he was a guy that did it. He said, this was old Sired Hired. But you know, he didn't have a good word for nobody. And I seen him one day at the house, and I guess the old girl got tired of it, because anyway, he was giving her a fit. And they was making dressing, and he was just giving her a fit. I remember in the kitchen, I sat over there reading the paper, and I thought, I wonder how long she's going to put up with that. And after a while, she went over to him, and she said, listen to me, Hard. I've had all of that I'm going to take, and you're going to shut up. I'm thinking, amen. Hallelujah. Feel the Spirit in that thing. There's no sense in it. Let me tell you, your walk with God ought to be getting better, not worse. Your marriage ought to be getting better, not worse. You may have went through some rough times. Bless God, that ain't the way it ought to end. You ought to find the right way. You ought to find the good way. You ought to find the orderly way. It may take some doing, but let me tell you, you can put your marriage back on tune with God. Oh yeah. And so, but a lot of people, their home is in confusion, and in discord, and it's in an upheaval, it's in a turmoil, it's in a fuss. There's a lot of people that live by themselves, and their home is an upheaval. Amen. Out of place, deranged, disarranged, out of line, unruly, uncontrollable, ungovernable, unrestrained. Just, you know, their home. And let me tell you, home, the old song said, home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard. What? a discouraging word. And the skies are not. That was an old. I mean, remember that old song. That's why God wants an apostolic home. God don't want a home with. God don't want a church that's in a disarray. He wants us on the same page. Oh, yes, He does. If it comes to holiness, get on the same page. If it comes to outreach, get on the same page. All this confusion over here. I don't want this. I don't want that. My God, sometimes we have to back up and say, for the peace and the safety of the home, I will do what I have to do to bring peace. In a church, it's no different. Count me in, preacher. I'll do what I got to do to get this thing off the ground. I'll have revival. You can count on me. I'm here. Heaven, what I got to do to my spirit, I'll do. What I got to do to my attitude, I'll do. I want this thing to go. I want God's blessing. I want order. Praise God. So many times we don't take care of business. And because we don't, we self-destruct. We don't. Can I tell you, if we took care of business, we would not have to probably suffer a lot of things that we suffer. Finances is in a chaotic mess in the United States, in the whole world, actually. And the thing of it is, they're just guessing now. They're trying to put Band-Aids on. We'll try this to get it going, and it ain't going. We're going to try this to get it going, and it ain't going. Because they just did not take care of business. There is what goes up, it'll come down. You know? And so in the home, this works in the home. You take finances will bring a home flat down. You have to take care of business in a home. You have to watch out after your money. There has to be an agreement. Your home is the springboard. Can I tell you, joy don't start at the church. You know where joy starts? In the home. On the way to church. Can't wait to get to church. We're going to do a little shouting. Can't wait to church. I'm going to be glad to get around everybody. That starts when you're getting ready around the house all day long. Oh, ain't God good? Ain't God good? Singing in the shower. Nobody around. Thank God. Just singing in the shower. Lord, you're so good. I'm going to church tonight. Oh, just having me a good old time. A lot of people come in here and they walk in like zombies. Come on, preacher, put it on me. Sing there, singer, put it on. We can't preach enough and sing enough to put it on you. You got to put it on yourself. That's why he said enter. But I'm going to tell you the home. Just start in the home. Just start in the home. And a lot of times what happens, a lot of arguments, they tell me, and I don't know how true it is, but they say more divorces is over money. And now in this economic upheaval, you need to learn to live within your means. Okay. You don't need to worry about what anybody else has got, what anybody else is driving, what anybody else at home they got. You just take care of business at home. You just take care of your money at home. You don't spend no more than you have. And they say Dave Ramsey. I can tell you, I could teach Dave Ramsey. Matter of fact, I was doing this before Dave Ramsey ever got on the radio. Well, you watch your money. I used to come in the time and my kids, well, one of my kids, and it wasn't the one with me, he didn't take it. Now, I'd say, who took a quarter off of here? And he'd say, it wasn't me. Well, I didn't have one of a kid. So I knew who took my quarter. And then I found out, and she said, I said the other day, I said, well, you used to take quarters off my dresser. And she said, and your dresser drawers, too. But my point of it is, you need to know. Let me just say this to you. If you come to church and you're all upset over financial reasons, you're not going to be a blessing at church. Arguing over problems. You need to work that out. You need to sit down and figure out who's going. Hey, you need to have a budget. I know this is probably not dynamic conference preaching, but this will take home. You can put it in your pipe and smoke it. I'm worried about people coming to church and they don't have their finances in order. And what happens to them is they come in and they feel defeated. You do not spend your seed money. You don't spend your corn money. You don't go on vacation with your house rent money. I want to go see Mama. Well, we'll take grocery money. You're going to be hungry next week. And then it's going to look like God ain't blessing you. When really it ain't the fact that God ain't blessing you. You just ain't got a good brain in your head. You just don't know how to spend your money. Or how, maybe better than that, you don't know how to not spend your money. Well, it's the gospel truth. There's things that happen in home. We have singles in here. They're all hoping to be married. Well, this may help them if they do get married. But you listen to me. There's more problems over intimacy in the home. We got quiet on that one. Can I get an amen? Join up. You can shout all you want, and you can smile all you want, and put your Pentecostal little grin on your face all you want. But if things ain't right at home, you just faking it till you making it. God has divine order there too. He is the creator. Can I tell you that a home, it ought to be fine-tuned. It ought to be to where if one of you drink a Coke, the other belch. You know, is that okay? I'm talking about home. Home. God, I don't know how. I tell you what, we do at a marriage seminar, I really get down with you now. But you listen to me. You need to work at it. You need to work at it. There needs to be order. There should not be, well, you've been at this and you've been at that and now we ain't speaking. That ain't going to do nothing. That'll hinder revival. Husband and wife, that'll hinder revival. Two sisters not getting along, that'll hinder revival. Can anybody get kingdom-minded? Can anybody get kingdom-minded to where, hey, you say, but see, it's like in the home. I tell you what, he ain't tell me what to do. I tell you what, I'm going to tell her what to do, and it's just back and two. And it don't work. You ain't going to have harmony in the home. You ain't going to have, and it works the same in the church. Somebody has to take and just say, for the kingdom. Let's work at this. For the kingdom. It was Esther. And Esther was put in a position. Esther was probably scared to death. First of all, she was thrown in with all these other future brides of the king. And she had some choices to make. And what she did was, look, they was painting them all up, you know, like some of our church people are painting their faces up and putting all makeup on and all that stuff we don't do. And she said, no, I'm going to let my radiant beauty be the factor. I don't want none of that. So we know that she's looking in the direction of God. I want to do it right. I want to be in divine order. And then she thought that she could just maybe slip in under the wire and everything would be okay and it was all working out. But then all of a sudden Haman come on the scene and it pinpointed her. And it made her to where she had to become kingdom-minded. They're going to destroy all of Israel. And Mordecai said, don't think for one moment that you can hide and get it. He said, you ain't going to get away with it either. Let me tell you something, folks. It ain't enough that the pastor's kingdom-minded. It ain't enough that the pastor's wife is kingdom-minded. These young ministers, in whatever position, you got to be kingdom-minded. If it comes down to it, she finally said, listen, give me some time to fast. Now, let me just say this to some of you. Let me just say this to some of you, and you listen to me. We went on a 40-day fast and had a revival. And right after the revival, and right here in the last little bit, I've seen self rise up. Tell you what I think. I don't care what you think. I tell you what I'm going to do. I don't care what you think you want to do. Somebody needs to get kingdom-minded. She said, look, I understand what you're saying. Just give me time. I need to get back to God now. Let's do a little fasting. And she said, I will put myself on the... In other words, I will sacrifice myself for the sake of my people. I'm not knowing when I go in there whether he will... See, if the woman walked in there and he was in a bad mood and he didn't... Golden scepter. She was dead. It was off. So she said, for the people, it ain't enough for the pastor to love the people. The people have got to love the people. It ain't enough for Mom Johnson to love the people. The people's got to love the people. She said, hey, I'm still scared. But I will sacrifice myself for my people. I'll come in before the king and I will take this big chance for the safety of my people. You may be seated. I don't understand people that after fasting and after revival and after the move of God, for you to come up and say, my way is bigger than. My wife came to me and said, there was something in prayer meeting the other night. You can rest assured one thing. You can be glad I didn't find out about it. Because I'm going to tell you, God's saying there's a right way to do everything. There's a way to get in divine order. You dancing on dangerous ground, honey. This church is destined for revival. We ain't going down, we going up. We ain't stopping, we're moving forward. And I'm not, Brother Tate, I'm not gonna be the dead weight around a millstone around the church's neck. Amen. I might have to get me an altar and I might have to say, what do you got to do to bring this thing right? But it's got to be right. What do you got to do to bring order back in this thing? What do you got to do to, I tell you what, best thing we can do is bring us a mirror to prayer and sit down and get that mirror and say, what can you do with this fellow I'm looking at? Because I'm going to tell you, we need God's order in our life. We need it in our marriages. We need it in our church. We need it amongst the families and amongst the men. We want to do it right. Do it the right way. We want order. Amen. Just remain standing with me. Notice now. 1 Corinthians 14 and 33, I believe, is the next one.
For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints.
God is not the author of confusion, or if you go back, the author of disorder. If you have disorder in your life, God's not the author of that. If you have disorder in your home, that God's not the author of that. If you have disorder in your marriage, God's not the author of that. And you got to understand that what happens is, amen, I believe the enemy comes in, and because we just don't take and just stop and say, hey, I'm going to do everything I can do to get this back. Because I'm going to tell you, if the devil could, he would destroy the ministry. He would destroy the laity. He would destroy Bible-believing churches all across this land. What he's trying to do. But can I tell you, the devil knows he can't come from the outside, so he starts working on the inside. And what better way to work? Oh, Naomi. Naomi realized that she'd made a mistake. She thought that she had done it right. She thought when her and her husband and two sons had moved out in rough times, that she'd done it right. And so they go down in the land of Moab. And tragedy hits like it always does. And she found herself alone. The two sons had died. The husband had died. One of the daughter-in-laws had went back. And all she was left with was a memory of how it used to be in Bethlehem, Judea. When you look at that, it's a land of bread and a land of plenty. And so she said, I'm going to set some things back in order. Now, I know this is just not going to empty ears, because I studied this and I felt it was from God. You may be sitting here and saying, well, my life's in a disarray right now. Can I tell you? It don't have to be. My marriage is kind of rough. It don't have to be. I'm kind of at odds with brother or sister or whatever. It don't have to be. Undoubtedly, Naomi got to talking. She said, you know, I realized that I had a good thing. Well, what are you talking about? Well, where I come from, God was there. Oh, the people of God. Oh, the things of God. Oh, the land of God. And undoubtedly, because this Moabite didn't know nothing about it unless Naomi told her about it. She had no personal knowledge. She'd never been to the land of Israel. So, only thing she had. And so, with a desire and a feeling in her heart, I want to go back. It sparked something in this girl's heart. And so all of a sudden now, this Moabite that was cursed to so many, I think the 10th generation, said a Moabite shall not enter in. Now that's odds. But because she's saying, I'm going to get in divine order now, I'm going to get a desire in my heart. So she said, why don't you go back to your sister or whatever, your sister-in-law, she went back. Why don't you go back to? She said, I want your God to be my God. I want your people to be my people. See, it ain't enough for the preacher to preach unity from the pulpit. I know preachers, when they get done preaching, they go in their office and shut the door.
I'm not going to be that way. I'll come back. If I can talk you into taking me out to eat, I will. I still owe you a dinner. I told Brother Tate we was going to go out. And Sister Tate and Mom, too. Not just me and him. We're going to make a foursome out of it. Well, I had a three up there before. And she started saying, your people, my people, where you are, that's where I want to be. Where you live, that's where I want to live. In other words, I'm going to be here right down to the end. Because where you die, that's where I want to be buried. That's it. And you see, all odds was against him. So don't tell me you're saying I got a bad error in my life, or I got a bad error in my marriage, or I got a bad error in my walk with God. No. You can come right back. If you want the house of God, you can get it. If you're saying, your people, my people, that's the right way. Your God, my God. Where you're at, that's where I want to be. That's where I'm going to be. And so she portrayed. And when you study that, you realize that because she wanted to do it right, and she basically, what she was saying was, amen, I want to get it in order. It first started out, she was standing by the field looking and observing the field. And God's hand started moving. And she said, go down there to the field of Boaz. And so she went down there. Well, she must have been a looker. Because old Boaz said, who is that good-looking chick standing over there? And he said, drop some shocks over there so she'll be shocked. And boy, dropped him on his chest. She ran over and run home to Naomi and said, and Naomi probably said, God's a working man. You go, girl. Here we are. You know what? And when she ended up, the Moabite girl that wasn't even supposed to be there ended up on in the field. Because she ended up marrying Boaz. And was the lineage of Jesus Christ all the way right on down. Boaz to Jesse to David all the way down. Can you get a picture here today? Amen. If you want to do it right, and that old girl did, and you want to get in God's, because Naomi said, go down there and do this. And she said, okay, if that's the way it's done, I'll do it. And so she just got one step ahead of the other step and doing that. And she said, just do what I tell you to do. Can I tell you, when I look at it from right here, I can look back. And I can see all of these pews full. I can look at the field and see these full. What you say, preacher? I want you to just turn around and look behind you. Everybody turn around and look behind you. Amen. This way, son. I know you knew what I meant. It can be. I believe it. I know it. You get saying, I want the right way. I want it done right. All right. I want to get in God's order. We are our own worst enemies sometimes. We can get blessed beyond imagination when you start getting in line. Ruth got in line and ended up owning the field. What do you say, you and I, as apostolics here? Get in order with God and ask Him in this year alone, how many people can we get to, amen, prayed through, baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost? Oh, hallelujah. Somebody clap your hands today. It is there. The Bible said the fields are white, all ready to harvest. It is there. Let's step out. Come on out of your seats and let's come.